Speaking on the program at this time is James W. Boyd.
The scripture reading for this morning's lesson will be taken from Luke 24, 50 through 53, and also Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. And also Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? The same Jesus which was taken from you into heaven shall come in the like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
Those who preached the gospel in the New Testament were said to have preached Christ. Brethren, that was their theme. That was their focal point. This was the subject of the things that they had to say. And we know, like the scriptures themselves, everything from Genesis to Revelation and all the preaching that we read in the Bible focuses upon Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. Now, preaching Christ involves proclaiming everything that there is concerning Him. Not only His pre-existence before the creation, being deity, but all the things that He did here upon this earth and even all the way through to His promise to return again. It would be an impossibility at one period to preach all the things that are given to us about Jesus Christ. But this morning, would you please with me focus our attention upon one particular event. We spend a lot of time, properly so, emphasizing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. But there are also great food for thought and benefits and blessings as we think about another majestic event that took place, and that was His return into the glories of heaven, His ascension. Without trying to exhaust the subject, I want us to explore just four matters pertaining to the ascension of Christ. First, when did that take place? Well, of course, there are different little answers that we can give, one of which is, well, it's about 2,000 years ago. It's not a recent event, of course. It was 40 days after His resurrection, and during those 40 days, as the Bible student knows, He spent His time intensely teaching His apostles, as He had for some 3.5 years, but He still continued to teach them concerning the kingdom that was to come. He was soon to leave, and He instructed them concerning those things. Of course, His ascension came at the close of His personal ministry here upon the earth. No, our Lord didn't live here on earth a great many years, just 33 in number, and about 3.5 of those years are spent in the time that we refer to as His personal ministry. But He was fulfilling His purpose. He had come to seek and to save the lost, those who are lost because of sin. Paul said Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That was His prime reason for taking on the form of flesh, being born of the Virgin Mary, to live the perfect life that He did, and to prove by the works that He did that He is indeed the Messiah that was promised, that He is indeed the Son of God and our Savior. It is most significant, I would suggest to you, dear listener, that Christ ascended into heaven with witnesses there to see where He went. Now you just imagine in your mind for a moment, if nobody had seen where Christ went, what happened to Him? Many knew that He had been crucified. He had been buried. and that the apostles and the others, they knew of His resurrection, and there were some 12 different instances where Christ appeared in the flesh before people whereby they could know of His resurrection. But what if He had just vanished? What if He had ascended without anybody knowing where He went? How could the apostles go forward with such firmness and conviction and positiveness that He was the resurrected Christ? And they would say, well, where is He? What happened to Him? The Lord provided them their presence at the time that Jesus was lifted up into heaven, and they could go forward preaching not only the resurrected Christ, but the Christ that had returned to the Father. You know, Jesus once taught that the Son of Man must be lifted up. Like the brazen serpent was lifted up in the wilderness for the Israelites, Christ must be lifted up. And He was lifted up on the cross. I think that's probably what it has primary reference to. But He was also, thankfully, lifted up from the tomb. But there's such great significance, friend, that Christ was lifted up into heaven. That took place a long time ago. The Bible affirms this to be a historical miracle. And from where did He leave this earth? You know, when Christ left this world, He left a world that had not received Him. He came to be of help, but people hated Him. They despised the things that He taught, the things that He stood for. The world is so full of sin and unrighteousness, and man is so undeserving and without merit. Jesus Christ came to bring light to mankind. But Jesus, being the light of the world, His own people turned against Him. Evil men preferred the darkness to the light of Jesus Christ. So He lifted Himself up, or was lifted up, from a world that would not receive Him. But geographically, Christ was lifted from a place near a little city called Bethany. Only once did Jesus, as far as we can tell, leave the land of Palestine. Though here but for 33 years, and though never leaving but that small little geographical place called Palestine, there has never been any being to have had such impact upon our world and all mankind than Jesus Christ. That very fact should impress us that He is who He claimed to be. How could one from insignificant circumstances, insignificant place, in just a short while, have such tremendous impact upon everything about humanity? Friend, it's because everything about humanity centers on Jesus Christ. Though the world would reject Him, that's still a truth that no one can deny. He left this earth from a little place called the Mount of Olives, which was near the home of some of His friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Those who have visited that place tell us that the Mount of Olives is still somewhat of a garden-like environment, a very peaceful place, a place where Jesus was assembled with His apostles, the 11 at this particular time, because Judas had destroyed himself, but a place where Christ had been with them on other occasions as a place of prayer. And where did He go? The Bible says He went out of their sight. He went to a place that's invisible to us as far as we are here upon this earth. But He went to a place of unequaled rank and power. He went to be seated on the right hand of God, Colossians 3 and verse 1. Hebrews 1 tells us that He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's the Holy Spirit's way of telling us He went to that place of honor and of rank and of authority and of superiority in every way. All power had been given unto Him. He arose from this place to go to the throne of God and there to be received as the King. You know, my dear people, the Scripture says He was carried up into heaven. The Bible tells us that's where the Father is. That is so significant to us as we concern ourselves with our own destiny. But Jesus went to a place that is spiritual in nature, but it's a realm of joy and of peace and of goodness and of purity, so different from that which characterizes His world and ours. But though He went to a place that we see not, except by the eye of faith and that through the revealed Word of God, He did not go to a place so far from us that He cannot be with us. He did not go to a place that is beyond our reach, that reach being made possible because He went back to that place. Man can even go to the place where Jesus went. He told His apostles that He goes to prepare a place for us that we can be where He is. Now that was a promise made specifically and originally to the apostles. But that was the message that the Holy Spirit guided the apostles to go and to preach as they preached the gospel to all mankind. But the fourth and final point I want to make is simply this, and this is the most important, I think, of the entire lesson. Why did Christ ascend back to heaven? He could have remained here on earth and been with His disciples, but He went back, as He had foretold that He was going to do. We read of the parables of Jesus Christ, of one who went away to receive a kingdom and to come back for His servants. It was promised that Jesus Christ would be King. That was promised to Mary, His mother. Jesus went to assume the throne of David, which was the spiritual designation of the kingdom of God, for Christ was a descendant of David. Jesus Christ went back to heaven in order to receive that kingdom in fulfillment of the promise and prophecies such as had been given to Daniel back in Daniel chapter 7, when it tells us about the Son of Man going back to the Ancient of Days. That had reference to the Christ and to His resurrection. Christ promised while He was upon this earth that He would build His church, did He not? He would build it upon the foundation of His own personal identity. It's built upon the fact that He's the Son of God. You remove and destroy that truth, as the skeptic and the atheist and the infidel seeks to do, you've destroyed Christianity. It is because He is the Son of God that He has authority and power, that He has the right to claim our allegiance unto Him. He promised to build His church, and the Scriptures show that His church is one and the same with His kingdom. And He said that the kingdom would be established in the lifetime of those to whom He spoke, Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. And Christ gave many certain signs, as the Old Testament prophets had done, that would designate and identify the time of that beginning. And those prophecies were fulfilled on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The kingdom came, but before it came, the Lord went back to heaven to assume the place of King of that kingdom that was soon to be established by His authority. That's why He went. When we do not minimize in our religious life, we cannot minimize in our religious thought the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. There is none equal to Him. He shares authority with none above Him. God speaks to men by and through His Son. It is to Him that we today here look to find out how we can please God. Jesus Christ returned to that place of power and of rank at the right hand of God and to receive His kingdom. But there's another reason Christ went back to heaven. In Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 15, the writer says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Now notice this next verse. "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace." Pause. Boldly. That word literally means with confidence. We can approach the throne of God not in an uncertain way, not in a maybe-so way, not in just a hope-so way, not we just hope it'll be this way, a wishful thinking. We approach the throne of grace with confidence that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Christ is our high priest. You know, people sometimes get the idea, nobody really understands me. Sometimes if you stop and think about yourself, you can probably understand why they might think that. But nobody understands my problem. Nobody really sympathizes. And as we think about that, let's be realistic. We cannot actually put ourselves, as it were, into the other fellow's moccasins and to know just exactly all the things that the others face, both his trials and tribulations as well as joys and happinesses. But we sympathize with one another the very best that we can. But we never, being frail humans, be able to fully grasp the role of life of somebody else. Though we would like to, we cannot. But there is one who does. One of the great things of being a Christian, friend, we are never alone in this world. So long as we are loyal and faithful to Christ, we are never by ourselves. We are never going to face anything without Him. He will always be by our side. He will provide for us that which He sees best for us. Therefore, being our high priest, we can go to that throne of God in our prayers and petitions unto Him, and we know we have one who fully comprehends and understands. Christ didn't become flesh so He could understand man. He already understood man. Christ became flesh so that man would know that Christ understood man. And there's no guess about it. There's no maybe so. And we're not by ourselves. And our Lord is our high priest. He couldn't be high priest here upon this earth. He was not of the priestly tribe. He was of the tribe of Judah. The priests were of the tribe of Levi. But we know this. Christ at the right hand of God, and it tells us what He is presently doing. What is Christ doing? At least two things I want to emphasize. The Scriptures tell us that Christ is making intercession for us. Romans 8 and verse 34 and Hebrews 7:25. He's ever living to make intercession for us. What does it mean to make intercession? That means to plead on our behalf. We have somebody that's on our side. He is not only on our side, He is the Son of God who is going to judge and rule the world. What's He doing now? As we pray to the Father, dear people, We pray through, by and through, the authority of Jesus Christ and in His name. And He intercedes, speaks out in our defense and on our behalf. You know, if I got into some kind of trouble, you'd want to get the very best lawyer that you could find, plead your case, wouldn't you? Think of the glory of being a Christian. How could we find a better lawyer on our behalf than the Son of the Judge and the one through whom He will judge? Jesus Christ is our intercessor. There's another reason why Christ went to heaven. And that's when He told the apostles, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Hear it. "I go to prepare a place for you." I don't know a great deal about that place. It's the place called heaven. We sing of the beautiful place called heaven. It's a real place. It will be a prepared place for those who have prepared themselves to be in that place. I don't know exactly how Christ is preparing or just what specifically He may be preparing, but He is preparing a place for us. And this is what He added, that "where I am, there ye may be also." Every one of us wants to go to heaven. Do you realize that there wouldn't be a place to go if Christ had not ascended? There's the glory of the ascension, dear people. We glory in the fact that He died on the cross and paid the penalty for our sins. We're thankful that He was buried but raised from the dead and shown that we have eternal life. But there wouldn't be a place to go unless that was that prepared place, and Christ prepared the place because He didn't stay here on this earth. He ascended into heaven. How grateful and how thankful we can be. Our high priest makes heaven available to us. Thank God that He was lifted up. God's Word, of course, as we all know, shows that Jesus is the Savior, now reigning as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. But because of the things that He has done and is doing, He has the right to claim our allegiance and service. We not only have a duty to Jesus Christ, we have the privilege of serving the Son of God. And the only way that we can serve God and serve His Son is to obey His commands, to enter into His service by obedience to the gospel, and then to walk in His footsteps as He has shown us how to live. What do you mean, obey the gospel? I mean, your faith in Christ is of such an extent that you will do what He says to do in repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ, whereupon the blood of Christ that was shed in His death washes away your past sins. You're in a new relationship with the Lord. You rise to walk in a newness of life. You're a Christian. You're His child. He's our high priest. We are priests. We can call upon Him. He's looking out for us. Because He served the will of God here upon this earth and has returned to heaven, preparing in God's time to come again, that we might, who are in the kingdom, be received into heaven eternally. You see, there's a great deal to rejoice over the fact of the ascension of Christ, isn't there? But that would be of no value and benefit to you, my dear friend, unless you obey the gospel. Because your refusal to obey the gospel, you're simply just saying to Christ, "I don't care whether you went back to heaven or not. In fact, I don't care what you did. I'm not going to do it. You're going to hell." When God has provided the way for you to go where Jesus is now preparing, you'll never get there. If you think you're going to get there anyway, you're mistaken. And if you don't learn that while there's life, you'll learn it when the Lord comes again. That's the reason when we love people, we would try to persuade them, just submit to this Savior. To live the life that will glorify His name. Enjoy the promises while you're here in this life. Live the best life a human can live, that's being a Christian. And then as He has ascended, when He comes again, those who have died in Christ and those who are faithful in Christ who may be living at His kingdom, they'll all be lifted together. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Why did Paul write that? Wherefore, comfort one another, he said, with these words. I close the lesson by reminding you one of the most comforting things our Lord has done for us while we live on earth is to tell us of the ascension of Christ.